finally have the details from USDA on the emergency relief program for 22.
Yes, sir.
Tell me, how does this differ from the ERP programs we had in 20 and 21?
Well, it's substantial. And really, we had 5 years of precedent. You know, that started with WIP and then WIP Plus in 18 and 19, WIP 17, WIP Plus 18 and 19, ERP in 20 and 21. And now this, which is a complete departure, even though Congress said, essentially, run the same. Here's $3.7 billion, a lot of money. And I think USDA kind of got into a mindset that it maybe didn't have as much money as it should. And then they started really changing the program. But it's a dramatic difference. I mean, just to be very clear about it, you know, you calculate losses based off of a threshold that's been much the same in all those programs, 5 years of precedent. So you calculate a loss based off some, you know, 85, 90% of what you've expected to receive on the crop. In 20 or 21, if you had a $100,000 calculated loss, the farmer would have received $75,000 on that. And that's not, those numbers sound big, but for an operation that's covering ground, you know, that's a small portion of the overall revenue, but it's critically important. So $100,000 loss would have generated $75,000 in payments, plus some return of crop insurance premiums. Congress deliberately did that to say, we don't want to penalize, we want to incentivize the purchase of crop insurance going forward. This year, under this new calculation, that same farmer for the $100,000 calculated loss would receive $11,250. You know, less than one-seventh of what they received in the past. Even if farmers were making a conservative calculation of what they could expect from this program that Congress passed, again, back in December of last year, this falls so far short. It's really going to put a lot of farmers in a bind, those who had losses in 2022. So, yeah, this is tough. This is really ugly.
It's called a progressive payment factor. In reality, it's basically payment limit. Is that how I read it?
Yeah, it's a backdoor. It's a backdoor pay limit against what Congress said to do. So they say for your first $2,000 of losses on a farm, and look, the money that flows, you know, you're looking at hopefully $1,000 in revenue on an acre of ground. So if you look at any kind of farm of scale and of size, 1,000 acres, 2,000 acres. $2,000 is a drop in the bucket. For the first $2,000 of loss, you get 100%. For the next $2,000, 80%. For the next $2,000 of 60, next $2,040, and then in the end, anything above $10,000 loss, you get 10% on. So that's how you get on a $100,000 loss. You get 60% of the first $10,000 loss, $6,000. For the remaining $90,000 loss, you get 10%. That's $9,000. That gives you a 15, but then you have to factor that down by 75%. That gets you to the $11,250. That's just so different. In the past, we never have had this progressive factor. Congress didn't call for it. Congress didn't want it. This is a creation of Secretary Vilsack. That really. So last year, if you had that $100,000 loss, you just take the 75% factor and you're done. Plus, you get some opportunities in the crop insurance. This progressive factor is the real. No one knows where it came from. Certainly wasn't a good idea. We see it as a backdoor pay limitation against the will of Congress.
Obviously, I'm in an area where we've got large acreage type of operations, an area that have received pretty substantial ERP payments in recent years, and WIP and WIP Plus before that. Does this really punish these farmers if they have any size or scale?
Yeah, well, you get into this big farmer, small farmer dynamic, but this is, I think you said it well there, with any scale. I mean, the monies that flow through a farm for what is really a pretty low return on investment. Farmers famously put a lot of money on the line each year to try and do this noble work of feeding our nation and feeding the world, to find this high quality, safe, abundant supply of food. But it's expensive to do. And these independent farm families, you know, they may be covering 3, 4, 5, 10,000 acres, but their family structures that really don't have deep pockets. It's why we have farm programs. To me, this model just abandons those farmers who are producing. You know, there's always this rubric that, you know, 12% of the farmers produce 90% of the food and fiber. And that's absolutely true. And then there are a lot of landlords and a lot of hobby farmers out there that make up the 2 million farmers in total, but they really don't account for much. In my opinion, this kind of abandons, walks away from those fully vested, full-time farmers in favor of, you know, what Secretary Vilsack will refer to as underserved farmers, but there's a lot, it's a broad category of folks. And this ERP, this new design of ERP, is just going to fall flat, I think, in rural America for those that are really doing the work to produce some food and fiber.
That term underserved, which is part of this, has been used by USDA and other areas in recent years. What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, they've broadened that category a lot. It's a pretty vague term. It's not in any of the statute on this disaster program. So Congress didn't say that USDA should do this. They've broadened it out to where it includes any female farmers, veterans. So some interesting and good categories. You know, no one is against that. But this is just, I think, the bigger issue with this. Everyone's fine with providing some exceptional, you know, support for those areas. What's problematic in this is it just walks away from those kind of full-time family farms. The difference in that kind of benefit, the benefit that was intended by Congress versus what farmers, many of whom really are hung out as the ag economy is in decline, commodity prices have come down, interest rates are up, costs of production have remained sticky and are still high. And this particular program is just going to leave a lot of those more traditional farmers just high and dry. It's really unfortunate.
Tom, is this a done deal, or where do we go from here?
Well, it's interesting. It certainly was in the Secretary's review. This was passed over 10 months ago by Congress. So that's the other thing. This took so long and then to be so very underwhelming. You know, Congress passed $3.7 billion for this back in December of last year. You know, at today's interest rates, every month that those dollars are not in farmers' pockets, farmers are having to pay about 10% interest on. So that's about $30 million every month. This hasn't gone into the farmers' pocket. This should have been out in May or June. Congress and FSA was supposed to do this faster than previous versions. Unfortunately, they've made it slower and more complicated and less effective. So, it is certainly in the Secretary's purview to do. Congress trusted the USDA to put this out as they intended. Now the big question is, will Congress come back and try and address the situation to right this wrong for the American producer?
Could this be something that ends up in the courts?
You know, I think it could. There are legal standards here, and every program that goes out is hammered on by OGC in the USDA to see would we be vulnerable to a court case on this. I think they would in this case, because they took liberties with the statute that just are not there. But, you know, it's hard to find a farm group that would want to go to the time and the expense and the delay of going through that process. So we'll have to see. But I think just on the merits of a case, I think certainly USDA abused the authority they had in this case. One thing I should say, and I want to say, I mean, USDA has historically done such a great job of balancing the needs and finding kind of good, thoughtful ways to address all the needs that are out there. And I love, you know, the county office staff, the state FSAs, they're just tremendous. I just think this one kind of got caught up in some strange politics and the echo chamber in Washington, D.C. So I hope and I think folks on the ground who, even if they didn't have a disaster in 2022, I think they can identify with. Maybe it was the floods in 19 that hit the Red River Valley or something like this. Everyone should look at this and say, you know, how would I feel if I was the one that had the loss in 2022 and this is the way that the program came out? So I think it is one where all of kind of rural America needs to be engaged and really look at the details of it.